Trading futures carries a high degree of risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Past performance is not indicative of future results. All right, it is my pleasure to welcome on Morad Askar, aka Futures Trader 71, for another mini-sode. These things are starting to become my favorite part of the week here when we record them. Welcome, Morad.
Thanks for having me on again.
Of course. So today's topic is about properly funding or proper funding when you're going to open up a futures account and account to trade futures. And I guess you could say this applies to other trading accounts as well, but specifically when you're talking about leveraged instruments, futures contracts, it's really important, at least in our opinion, to make sure that you're funding with the proper amount of capital. Risk capital would be another important aspect, and funding properly for the strategy that you're going to trade. So kind of the first question that I guess I'll pose to you, Morad, is what do you think of, or what do we mean when we say funding an account properly?
Okay, so there are several pieces here. Basic funding has to cover margins, expenses, and drawdowns, right? So you need to make sure you're margined, you have enough margin, and we'll talk about margin a little bit more. The expenses to run your account, so, you know, software expenses, commissions, things like that. And then you have to allow for drawdowns as well. A good gauge for what to fund with is to refer to the particular product, if you have one in mind, refer to the initial margin provided by the exchange. The exchange actually offers on their website for any given product, they'll show you what the maintenance margin is. And if you multiply that by 110% or 1.1, you get initial margin. This gives you a good gauge for how much you should fund with.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it. And I personally will typically always say, try to fund with as close to that initial margin as possible for the product you're going to be trading, right? So there's a reason that the exchange sets those margins. And you and I have addressed this on a previous episode too, but you know, there's a lot of calculation that goes into that initial margin. And really what they're saying is, hey, in a major event, what type of move could you expect for a contract, one single contract, in extreme volatility for this product, right? So on the E-mini S&P right now, initial margin is 12,100 per contract, right? So some sort of major event, one contract could cover that range. And if you're trading, you know, if your strategy calls for you to trade two ES contracts, okay, yeah, every day the market's not going to move that much, right? But you are now talking about $25 a tick, right? So if you're funding an account with, say, $2,000, and you know that over time, your strategy needs X amount of trades, or you trade a certain way, whether that's swing or kind of scalping, quick in and out, then you want to be able to take those types of drawdowns and losing trades, right? As much as we love to be perfect all the time, that's just not going to happen.
Yeah, and one of the things that always grinds me the wrong way is this question of, do you offer $500 margins? Hey, I want to trade where they offer $500 margins. I think traders need to understand that margin is not a cost. Margin is collateral. It's money that you're putting up in order to be able to trade a product. And I'll run through some numbers. I'll try not to sink in too deep into this numbership, but just let's take the most popular product and maybe a couple of popular products and look at how the numbers play out. So you just mentioned for the ES, the exchange margin requirement is $12,100 per contract in any given day, right? When you open the position with one contract, the exchange is looking for initial margin, $12,100. The notional value, or the true value of the ES, assuming that we, you know, close today at 4057, the notional value is 203,000. So if you bought an ES at the close today at 4,057 and it went to zero, you need $203,000 to cover that loss. That's what notional value means. Mm-hmm. So if we take the initial margin that the exchange is requiring of $12,100 and look at the notional value of $203,000 and divide them of each other, already the exchange is giving you 17-to-1 leverage at full initial margin. Mm-hmm. And the way the exchange computes this is it says, historically speaking, for a set period of time, a three standard deviation move. In other words, 99.4% of days historically, the market moved on each single contract can move as much as $12,100 on each single contract, which means that the exchange is saying on a kind of a crazy case, your trade can move against you 242 points. So that's a lot of room. It's a lot of room. And then what happens with intraday traders is now they go out and shop for $500 margins as opposed to the $12,100. So now they're looking at 40-to-1, 60-to-1 leverage, which means that on an open position, the market doesn't have to move very much to wipe you out. So the risk of ruin is extremely high the higher the margin. I think a reasonable margin is the ideal situation is you deposit the $12,100 per contract you plan to trade for the ES, or $17,600 for NQ, or $5,000 for crude, or $2,200 for the micro Bitcoin. You deposit that, and this allows you to be well within the boundaries of what can really go wrong in most cases. Past performance is not indicative of future results, of course. Anything can happen here. It could move 500 points on a flash crash, but very, very rare probability that would happen. But the 12,100, maybe you don't use all of it for margin, but it's there to cover drawdowns, expenses, and things like that. And we'll talk about this a little more, but the emotional aspect, imagine trading a one lot on $1 million account versus trading a one lot on $1,000 account in the ES. The level or the quality of the trades are going to be very, very severely impacted. And it causes traders to behave very abnormally to have that much leverage anyway. So the wise thing to do is to look at the exchange margin and ask yourself, hey, am I able to put up the full margin? Yes, I know I can. My broker will give me multiple that. EdgeClear provides 2-to-1, like 50%, or in some cases, 25%. In other words, it'll give you 4 times the buying power, which is still okay. But in general, deposit the full margin. If you can't deposit 12,100, cool. Go to the micro and deposit $1,210 per contract.
Yeah.
And to be properly funded, you also want to use that initial margin or your day margin to also control how big you should trade. So if you start to make money, then tell yourself, I can't add an additional contract until I have the margin for that additional contract to keep your risk of ruin, your statistical risk of ruin, the same. So I know I threw a lot at you there, but this is the basic thing about being properly funded for risk.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, one of the things that I run into a lot is, someone says, well, hey, I could put, whatever, the 40,000 into an account to trade a few ES contracts, but you're giving me day margin. So why should I do that? I don't really want to. And if you don't want to put up that amount of capital, yes, futures are leveraged. There's obviously risk of loss there. And then there's an equal weighted risk of return there, right? So it's, you have to balance that. But it's not like I'm sitting here, getting a bonus if you put in the 40K. I'm just suggesting that because personally, I believe that is what is going to allow you to keep yourself in the game longer. I'll give another example, right? If you show up to a poker table, and I know we use these analogies a lot, but poker is fairly easy, and it's a $10,000 limit buy-in per hand, but they say, hey, you know what? I'll let you buy in with $1,000. Well, statistically, your chances of sitting at that table very long are probably really, really low. You might be out within the first few hands. Okay, so if you can put up the risk capital to get that full initial margin per contract, even if you are trading a strategy that is fairly tight stops, whatever else, there's no guarantees that any of that is going to be fit, right? The market can gap down, things can happen. So when I suggest this, my goal is to keep traders around long enough. And then, as you mentioned, you know, there's the mental aspect too. If I put in the lowest possible amount to trade the four contracts on the ES that I want to trade with the margin my broker is giving me, well, now I've got to be perfect, right? If I'm getting $500 margins and I put in $2,000 and I call for four contracts on every trade with my strategy, I have to be dead on. Because if I lose my first trade, well, now I'm already down to three contracts. And if I lose again, I might be down to two contracts, right? So you're already putting yourself, and you already mentioned it, on what people call to or refer to as tilt, where you're not in the right headspace necessarily to trade your plan. You're in the sweaty palms, I need to win this trade mentality. And that can be a really dangerous spot. Now, I will add on top of that, that, you know, not everyone can put full initial margin per contract, but I will say if you can get close, in my opinion anyway, that can put you in a better spot than pressing right up against the margin.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. Imagine trading. I mean, look, I'm going to try not to be critical of others in the industry, but for the ES, $500 margins are 410 or so to one leverage.
Yep.
So the ES has to move 1/400th of a percent to wipe away your $500. That's no room at all. The other things you have to consider, that we all have to consider as traders in funding, is what is the nature of the product, right? So maybe in a day, like you look at the NASDAQ, you know, the exchange is anticipating that on a really bad day, the NASDAQ will move against you 880 points or $17,600 per contract. But while you're sitting in a trade, you open a trade and you're waiting for it to work, the volatility, the rotations, the volatility of that product and its behavior while you sit there and wait for the trade to work on a highly leveraged account will take you out before the trade has a chance to work. So, for example, the NASDAQ has, let's call it, an ebb and flow of 16 points. And you're sitting here trading it for $1,000 a contract or something like that. It doesn't take very long before the fact that it's just sitting there gyrating 16 points at a time, you know, rotating 16 points at a time, before now you're starting to be too nervous and to close the trade or to add to it or to defend it or to just completely toss out the plan, because it's already at 16 points times $20. It's already eating, you know, 320 of the $1,000 you have just because you got in at, you know, not at or near the bottom, which is very, very difficult to do. So the products, not only is the strategy susceptible to experiencing drawdowns, like I might have a strategy that works 80% of the time. Well, out of 100 trades, I might run into a streak of 20 losing trades in a row, right? And that 80% win rate is a historical figure. It might become 70% because of my drawdown.
Right.
So can I withstand 20 trades that stop out for a full stop? And if I cannot, then I need to deposit more money and follow the strategy anyway. So what a lot of people refer to our industry and they say, well, 90% of traders fail within the first 6 months or something. I do not claim to know the source of that, but it's so heavily quoted. And I refute that. My opinion is that this is an incorrect determination. And a lot of it, in my opinion, is driven by people seeing margin as cost. Margin is not cost. It's just collateral. It's just money you're putting up to give yourself the room and to secure the trade. And a lot of it is just over leverage and people, you know, doubling down, tripling down, and not giving themselves room. So the strategy matters because of the drawdowns. Basic funding requires expenses and so on. And then the product itself, the volatility of the product matters as well.
Yeah, I agree. So we're going to take a quick ad break and we'll be right back. What's up, everyone? It's Ian. Don't hit that skip button because you don't want to miss what I have to tell you. EdgeClear, the brokerage I work for and who makes this all possible, has launched an awesome trading platform, Edge Pro X. Edge Pro X includes features like an advanced depth of market, TPO charts, volume profiling tools, an order heat map, built-in replay and simulation mode, and much more. Check it out today by visiting edgeprox.com. That's EdgeProx.com and signing up for a 14-day free trial. All right, Morad. So to continue what you were saying about the strategy and trading, I want to throw an example out at you because, you know, there are automated systems and things like this out there as well. And you had mentioned that kind of failure rate, all of that. So you run into this in all facets too, even people who are interested in strategies where you know, you may have a CTA or you might have some automation built in. So I get this question a lot where people may look at something like an iSystems and say, well, hey, I'm looking at the data here and it could be hypothetical, it could be tracked, could be from live trades, whatever. And I see that this system over the last 2 years only has a max drawdown of $2,500 and the required capital is $3,000. Why wouldn't I just put in the required capital? Well, at some point, if it does take that $2,500 or past performance not indicative of future results goes beyond that, now you've got no more margin, no more collateral to put up to run that system. So you can think about that in the same way that people who have a long history of running their strategy think about their trading, right? If you are running out of room to put on the trades as you intend to put them on, as your plan calls for, well, now you're getting into that point where the emotions are just taking a hold of you. And I've seen it time and time again where, and I've done it, where, hey, I'm in, you know, my strategy has, call it a 65% win rate, which means I could lose, you know, 35 trades out of every 100. And sometimes I have lost 10, 15 in a row. And then I hit my, you know, 15th loss in a row, whatever it is over a course of a few days. And now my account balance is lower. I'm like, well, I still want to trade my three contracts, whatever, Micro Russell, something like that. I'm not a big trader. So I keep firing those off. And now all of a sudden I'm running out of room. I'm running out of margin. And I'm in this headspace where I've already lost on my trades. Now I'm down to two contracts on margin, not just two contracts because I've stopped myself out, but that's all I can trade. And now you're taking shots, again, just my experience, you start taking shots at winners saying, hey, if I can take these two contracts and just get another few hundred dollars, I'll be able to trade three contracts again and I can work myself back. And in my opinion, that is just another path to ruin for your trading because your emotions are just way in the way of what you're trying to do.
Yeah. And so you're introducing, when we do that, we're introducing an additional factor here. And that is the I've stopped trading the market and now I'm trading my account balance factor, right? Mm-hmm. Which has been studied in books like the Chimp Paradox and others to, you know, to empirically have shown that when you're under that kind of duress or stress, the logic is not the same. Most of us who've traded have cannibalized our account on a single day, trying to fight back, trying to, you know, trade our balance versus what the market's showing. And then later on in the evening, if we can get the courage to come back to our desk and look at what we did, we see it and we're like, oh my God, how could I not have seen that? It's so obvious now. And the reason that happens is because the chimp brain takes over and we are just fighting emotionally. And the emotional fighting, by the way, if this is an issue where, you know, you, you make a little bit of money for 2 weeks and then you wipe it all away in a couple of hours on a trend day, or in a couple of trades on a day where you're just fighting the market. A lot of that has to do with the leverage that is inherent in futures, and with the emotions that spring up because we're underfunded. Undercapitalization is a huge, huge deterrent for success in trading futures. And this is why we encourage people to go to the micros, work out their issues, be better funded. And then once they have it together and they have the statistics and the performance, then move up to the full contract or the electronic contract. So this is another factor, right? And look, your account, you know, like the example you gave, you took 15 hits in a row and now you only have enough margin to trade. You can still trade three contracts because you have intraday margin or whatever. But if you're following your plan, and because it's trading is about process and execution rather than P&L, if you're trading for P&L already, that's two strikes against you. But if you follow the process, then you automatically are reducing your size to match the account balance. And the goal is not to make the money back. This is where people start trading with three, take a number of losses, and instead of cutting down to one or two because they've taken losses, they start trading six or 10, you know? Mm-hmm. And it just, all it does is it accelerates the decline. The goal is to slow that down and get back into the flow of the market. This is very, very, very important advice. And I've experienced it myself. And you cut it down, get back in the flow, and you'll soon earn back the amount you need to trade an additional contract, put the additional contract on, and now you're in a great position, hopefully, to resume the path to success. So, you know, underfunding is a huge part of it, and that's why it's a very important topic today.
Yeah, absolutely. I could probably, and this is, you know, some of our listeners are probably going to want to jump through the screen or call me when they hear this episode and punch me for saying this, but I never get calls from people to try to reduce their intraday margin if they're properly funded. I shouldn't say never, but rarely, if ever. Usually the people who are asking for reduced margins are someone who has been either on a losing streak or is not properly funded and loses a few trades in a row and is thinking to themselves, hey, if I could just put on my four contracts again, I can make this back. That's no problem. And in reality, what tends to happen, again, just my experience, but I've been doing this for 6 years now, and I can say my experience is pretty weathered at this point, is you put the lower margin in place, they start to trade with their usual size again, but now a lower account balance, and then those trades also don't end up winning. Again, the chimp brain takes over, and you're fighting now for survival. You're not looking at your process, following your process. So, you know, it almost can't be hammered home enough that proper funding is, at least in my opinion, one of the most important aspects of ensuring that you're setting yourself up to have time. And I talked about this in my last episode too, but you're trying to give yourself time for your strategy to play out, right? You can do all the testing in the world and say, hey, my strategy's got a 90% win rate. That's awesome. But if you're not funding with enough to account for, hey, maybe I could take 10 losers in a row, then you could still end up on the sidelines again. And that's just not fun. That's when you get people who want to close accounts. They may go look for someone else to mentor them, whatever it is, because they haven't bought themselves enough time to really let it play out.
Yeah. And it's a numbers game. Look, trading is probabilities. Mainly it's probabilities. It's edge. It's a statistical edge. Followed by process and execution. Think of it as a three-legged stool, let's say, just because I can't think of a fourth leg right now, but it's probable statistics and probabilities and edge. That's one leg of the stool. The next leg of the stool is execution, right? And the other leg of the stool is the psychology and the emotional awareness of the trader. And actually, there's a fourth leg thankfully. The
there you go. Stable. I was going to say, my bar stools have four legs, Morad, yeah. So if we could get there.
risk management, that's the fourth leg, is just always, look, you want to be a good trader. In my opinion and in my experience, you want to be a good trader, you have to be an incredible risk manager. You have to be someone that is so staunchly aware and in alignment of risk management. I know it's an unsexy topic and people kind of get sick of hearing about it, but if you're not managing a risk, then you're not likely to be here tomorrow. And risk and proper funding go hand in hand. And so, you know, the idea for traders is to come in and take their strategy and trade it as many times as possible to realize that edge. It takes a while for that edge to show up. And so the idea is to just take every trade that's within your plan with proper risk management, and then eventually it shows up. Think about it this way. A casino, investors in a casino might spend $15, $20 billion on a casino. And the reason they can justify that amount of spending and raise that much money, it's an extraordinary amount of money. The reason they can do that is because the casino is doing what? They are
using probabilities. Yep.
Yeah, they're coming in and they know the probabilities and they believe the probabilities will play out not in 10 bets by a customer, not in 50 bets, in hundreds of millions of bets. Okay, so that's, they have to have enough funding for that. Then the casino is following a process of executing that on that funding. They don't allow natural light. They don't put clocks in there. They make it very pleasant. They give you drinks. They treat you well. They comp your meals in your room as long as you keep betting. Then they're managing risk, right? When things go badly, they're not the bets. They don't allow you to take bets big enough to take down the entire casino. And then the rest, they don't have to deal with the psychology because it takes care of itself. That's how they win. This is why casinos are very, very profitable, in my opinion. So trading plays on the same thing, but we can't get people to be focused on the process and the risk management rather than getting money back or letting their emotions get out of control and going on tilt and throwing it all away. And by the way, in your example where you say, oh, it's the traders that come in asking for lower margins, those are the ones that have, you know, the lower probability of success. If you recall, our process is if somebody asks for lower margins, they kind of go into a separate bucket as someone we're going to monitor more closely for risk, right? That's one of the things EdgeClear does well, is we keep an eye on our traders as if they are our own traders. So when somebody's asking for lower margins and we offer the lower margins, generally that's someone you want to watch very closely because they're probably heading down the path of hurting themselves and really ruining their chances of being here tomorrow. And that's a loss to us. That's a loss to the trader. That's a loss to the industry and the market in general. We want traders to be here for the long run.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's the biggest aspect. And, you know, like I said earlier, if I'm suggesting funding with, hey, if you can put up initial margin per contract, again, it's not because I'm sitting here collecting some bonus off of how much you fund with, where I can attest to that. It's because I want to keep you around because we do care for our traders and we want to make sure that, hey, you're going to be here for the long haul. And yeah, if you want to chat about lower margins, let's chat about lower margins. That's not really the question that needs to be asked. The question that needs to be asked is, why do you want the lower margins? And is that something that's absolutely necessary for your plan, for your funding amount, whatever else it is? Or do you simply just want to try to leverage as little capital as possible to see if you can make it? And again, just my opinion, the chances of success with that are very, very low.
I agree with that. Think of this as a business and for the long run. And for us, of course, there's a huge incentive in keeping you in business because we have a business to run. But also we want people to achieve their potential. So we're all traders here, or most of us are. And And we understand what you're going through, and we want, you know, our entire design behind EdgeClear is that we understand what the online trader's going through, and we're doing the best we can to help you get out of your own way as best as we can.
Yeah, I think that's a good spot to end it. I think you've queued us up, Morad, for the next mini-sode to talk about what it means to be trading in that proper type prop environment. I think that'll be the next one we roll out at the people.
That's right up my alley.
There you go. Well, cool. Thank you again for joining me. And thanks to everyone for listening. And Morad, I'll catch you next time.
Thank you so much.